Welcome to The Health Coach with Dr. Nick on Hunters Bay Radio. I'm joined in studio today by Elka Schultz. Good morning, Elka. How you doing?
Great.
Excellent.
Happy to be here.
I'm laughing, Elka, because I know you have some props with you. And I see words like hippocampus, amygdala, you know, and all this neurology. I'm just laughing because it actually has some mixed memories remembering my neurology from chiropractic college. So Elka is a therapist living here in Bracebridge. She is an art therapist. Mm-hmm. She has her master's in psychology and in art therapy. She's also a certified EMDR therapist, and we're going to discover a little bit more about what art therapy is and how it can benefit us all, as well as EMDR. So we have a whole bunch of things to talk about, Elka. But first, I'd like to set the stage, and actually, we're going to do this over two shows, okay? So because there's a lot of stuff to unpack here with Elka. So let's kind of set the stage, because I like I said, you have some props, and it's all about the brain and everything, and in the modern culture, I guess, there's a lot of emphasis on the brain. And the brain thinks it's quite important. In fact, the brain thinks that it's the most important organ of them all.
True.
So how about maybe we deconstruct that a little bit, because that's our job. So let's talk about, I know you have an excellent lecture and that you gave in my office, mm-hmm. and you actually have this on YouTube. People can access this at any time. And the title of it is You Are Not Your Brain. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. So let's talk about that. It was a fascinating lecture. I love this stuff. So how about you tell us a bit about what this lecture is?
Well, one of the things, and I thought what you said is really fun, because you're right, is the brain does think it's pretty important.
Yes.
And we have all kinds of different language that goes with that, whether it's ego or whatever we want to call it.
Yes, yes.
And the brain is really important.
Yes, it is.
As soon as it was formed, its main job was to keep us alive. Is to keep us alive, not was. So it collects information, and it is always like this great computer that says, okay, you know, I'm going to beat the heart like this, or if I'm getting anxious, I'm going to sweat. Like, we don't physically or consciously think about that, but the brain is managing this whole system.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty fantastic.
Absolutely.
So what happens, though, is we get a little mixed up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And when we're not aware of it, the brain, well, I'm going to just kind of, when you said unpack, I made some little drawings here.
Yes.
And so the brain, if you can visualize the brain, and as soon as the brain is formed, it starts collecting information.
Yep.
So, and that's in history, that's in memories, that's in belief systems, whether they're social or cultural. And one of the examples I said, well, I mean, I can ask you is, mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
My first schooling?
Yeah.
Geez, St. Raphael Catholic School in Toronto.
And how big was that school?
So at the time, from that perspective, it was huge. It was a huge school, right, when you're 8 to 13 years old. When I revisited it as an adult, it didn't quite seem as big.
Yeah, right? So
yeah.
So here you grew up in a Catholic
mm-hmm.
school,
mm-hmm.
and it was went what, from what, grades 1 to?
JK all the way through grade 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that
years.
Would be different. Yeah, and that mm-hmm. would be different from, let's say, myself. I grew up in Niagara Falls.
Okay.
And Brantford, and mm-hmm. then I went also to a junior high, so that was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could say, you know, somebody else, maybe they went to a one-room schoolhouse.
Yes.
So totally different experiences, yet we grew up in Ontario, all
mm-hmm.
of us. And so then our social beliefs, just I'm giving that small example, is going to be very, very different.
Yes, you all went to school.
Yes,
we all. Very different experiences.
Very different experience.
Okay.
Just because of that logistic, never mind personalities of teachers.
Correct.
Or teaching methods or anything like that. So here the brain,
yes.
each brain is collecting all this information and all these memories. And so then the brain continues, and your background is?
Italian.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
My background is German.
Yes.
So, and you know, I can generalize about Germans because I'm
sure.
German.
Sure, sure.
And,
you can generalize about Italians too. Go
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. So, and a lot of these things are true in our culture. So we adopt these cultural beliefs, and if we're just accepting them, we don't really, we have to think back and go, well, what are those cultural beliefs versus, yes. And I want to name some other cultures. We've been hosting Japanese students,
okay.
Very different cultural belief system. We've hosted Chinese student, very different cultural mm-hmm. belief. French mm-hmm. from France. So Mexican, I have Mexican friends, very different. When they're very expressive.
Yes.
So the brain now is collecting all this information. And, of course, with this information, the brain starts creating habits mm-hmm. because, again, its main function is to keep us alive. So it's collecting this information. And it's going, okay, I need to do a certain action to keep Nick alive. I need to keep Elka alive. So I'm going to react a certain way. So sometimes we're reacting or we have these habits. And if we're not aware of that, you know, we think that that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And a habit is made, I think, with a good purpose. So, for example,
yes.
We learn how to drive a car. We have to think and focus. And eventually, after a while, things become habitual.
Absolutely.
So that kind of goes on automatic pilot. And I think you're right. And sometimes these habits may not, as we grow and evolve, we may have to want to adopt newer, better habits. Is
right.
that what we're getting at?
Right.
Yeah.
And then we wonder, and it's only when a habit doesn't serve us or okay. we're doing things that we're not happy, then we kind of go, wait a minute, it's not working anymore.
Ooh, nice.
And then we think that there's something wrong with us.
Ah.
So a lot of human nature, and I these are just some things I play around with, is, you know, why do we go to the negative so quickly? Why are we so critical? And when I look at critical, I want to say critical thinking is our innate human nature is to learn. So to explore, to expand. So we're always looking at how do we do that and how do we deconstruct something. However, I think sometimes in our society, we think these words are so negative.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways.
So our nature is not to be perfect.
I don't think so.
Okay. So, I think that's what happens.
We
attempt to do something or something's not working in our lives. And
right.
the habitual thought is, what's wrong with me? It
right.
seems to work for everybody else. It worked for me before. And what I'm hearing from you is, well, maybe it's just time for a newer habit.
Right.
Based on new knowledge, based on new information.
Yeah, and some of the interesting things is, and as you know, and in your work, is why, if we know something's good for us, how come we can't make that change?
Ooh, that's
so that's
great
what we.
Topic.
Yeah, it's a big question,
yes.
right? So, because we have these habits and we get triggered and we have reactions, and our brain is, you know, here we go. I don't know how many years, 20, 30, you know, maybe 40 years, and this brain really has had the run of the show,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's really done a great job because it's got us to today.
Yes.
So we have to be careful here
yes.
a little bit,
yes.
right? We can't just say, oh, all these habits are bad. So
yes.
so then it's, you know, when you start unpacking these things, and I want to add one more thing to that mix, is there's other things that affect the brain. And I think more and more, I'm really happy that people are starting to be aware of this. Something like water, if we don't have enough water, can give a symptom
Absolutely.
Of anxiety.
Absolutely.
Caffeine, chocolate, and some of these stimulants that I call them kind of subtle because they're the one that they trip us up.
Mm-hmm.
For me, white noodles, you know, it's like caffeine for me. So as we discover some of these things, it affects the brain,
mm-hmm.
right? And what else affects the brain? Chemicals, hormones, drugs, alcohol, and whether it's medicinal or not. So all these things affect the brain.
So what I'm hearing is we have this wonderful brain, and its job is to keep us alive and serve us.
Yeah.
And it develops habits over time. And these are a good thing. This is a way to keep us alive better. Okay, we'll just say that. And these are almost like pathways, like truly physical grooves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about a well-worn path up a hill, okay,
mm-hmm.
these paths are ingrained over time.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now let's have some sympathy for the brain, because here we are now, because we are separate from our brains. Here we are wanting to make a new change, wanting to create a new habit. And we
right.
say, come on, brain, let's go over here. And the brain says, yeah, but this has worked for so many years. And of course, it's going to fight back.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's its job, is to keep us alive. And
yeah.
And from its perspective, it's saying, if we don't go on this path, we may die. So in order to create those new neural habits, right, just the way we teach a child, I think some love, some compassion to our brains, and as you're saying, supporting it nutritionally, exercise, all those good things. So this sounds like a pretty big process.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. One client was telling me she had heard this kind of theory before, and someone had related as wheat fields and pounding down a new path, and that as you do a path over and over again, the wheat field gets beaten down. And I said, well, I said, I had a 12-lane highway, fully plowed, fully maintained. And I said, my new path was like using a machete in a rainforest. Okay. So she laughed and she said, that's more what it feels like. Because you know what? If it's a pathway in a wheat field, it's easy. It feels easy. But you know what? My pathway, I may have wanted to create that new habit, but it took me several tries.
Yes,
so sometimes we feel like failing. Sometimes we feel like we're faking it. Sometimes we feel like we're not getting there. And really, what we've done is we might have macheted 10 feet.
Gotcha.
You know that little analogy.
This is fantastic. We'll take a quick break here. We'll get right back on topic, Elka. Welcome back to The Health Coach with Dr. Nick on Hunter's Bay Radio. I'm joined again in studio with Elka Schultz, and we're discussing, we're making kind of a parallel between the brain and its habits and plowing through wheat fields with a machete. And
a rainforest. Tangled up rainforest.
And I think what I'm hearing is there are different ways of approaching change, right?
Totally.
And also I heard you say that even though you made this kind of a crazy, get the machete and plow through. It was lots of work. It's work, one, and it still took several tries.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as I've been looking at this and I look at my own efforts to make new habits and be in more of a place of choosing and responding and creating new pathways, is one of the things that I've done is, you know what, I'm going to be the CEO of my brain.
Yeah,
I want to be the captain of my ship.
Because I'd written that down just as you were speaking before, when you're describing the brain. It's almost like we are the CEO, and the brain is almost the manager.
Right.
And sometimes if the CEO is absent, we should take some responsibility.
Absolutely.
If the CEO is absent, then the manager, of course, the manager is going to take over and think more highly of him or herself.
Itself.
Good. Yeah, so
totally.
So we have to create a partnership.
Exactly. And
that's
a cool, I like that analogy. And I like what you said about being absent, because I think what happens is when we're not aware, we are absent and the brain is running the show.
Yes.
So, and when we become aware of this idea, we can step back and go, whoa, that was a reaction. Oh, I get that. Okay. Or, oh, this is how I'm feeling. And we start connecting with the body. We start connecting with the brain and seeing that the brain is a manager. And I like your idea of the partnership, because we're not trying to diss the brain or say, hey, you did a bad job, because you didn't. You brought us here today.
Absolutely.
You're the one that brought us to the workshop, you know, and you got us surviving. You got me through that fever. You got me through that flu. You got me through so much, right? No matter what that is. So then now we've got to go to the brain and say, okay, how can we help you out? And one of the easiest things I do, I know that I'm a therapist and I work with mental health issues. I talk about food.
Yeah.
I look at that, you know, what are we eating? And oh, you're having trouble sleeping. Let's look at food and substances first. Because those, to me, are some of the easier ones. Like, oh, I can stop drinking coffee or caffeine by noon.
Yes.
Let that digest or whatever I need to do. Or do I need to look at what my body's reacting to? Because every body is different. So we start with things like that. Even exercise things. Like, you know, with exercise.
Yeah, the oxygenation, the circulation of the blood.
Totally.
When we're not moving, we get signals from our joints, neurological signals from our joints. And those signals, those joints, they start to die if we don't move them, right? So all these signals are going to the brain of alert and alarm. So, of course, the brain's going to have certain thoughts, okay, when we're not moving. So
exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we got to keep that flowing and help the brain as much as we can. And so then with creating new belief systems and new habits, part of that is starting to be aware and looking at that. So that is a layered, it's kind of layered. So it's in the background, and then noticing that, okay, it's going to take time to support our brain. It's going to take time to make that new neural pathway. So how do we do that? So I know you give workshops. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I give suggestions, there's daily practice, affirmation, all these things. What we've got to do is give the brain some new information, mm-hmm. some new things to think about. And one of the things that they've said about the brain, and it's, you know, the they, but mm-hmm. the research is mm-hmm. that we can focus really well on five top priorities.
Oh, okay.
We have the capacity about 7 to 10, though we'd get a little bit sidetracked.
Yes.
Though five main goals is the brain can really grasp that, and it likes that kind of simplicity. It also likes concrete goals. So if we say, oh, I want to get better, the brain really doesn't understand what that is. It's too vague.
Okay.
But if I want to say, oh, I want to lower my heart rate from dot to dot.
Okay. So that's specific. So not just get healthier, but actually lower.
Very specific. The brain loves specificity.
Okay.
It likes to concretize goals.
So let's do five goals then. Then give me some typical goals.
Well, I've prioritized. I can go with my goals.
Oh, sure.
Okay. So my top five are: I want to have a great relationship with my children.
Okay. So relationship with children.
So then what I'll give you the five
yes.
first. I think I know okay. them all by heart. financial ease.
Okay.
Strong spiritual practice.
Okay.
Healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
And I also wanted to promote my book too.
Okay.
And so these still are fairly vague. However, they're simple. They're my top five.
Yes.
So then what I've done is each one I have unpacked them. So
yeah,
I look
lots
at
of points under each.
Absolutely. Yes. So yes. What does it look like when I have a healthy relationship with my two children? It looks like they phone me regularly. It's easy to talk to. And then regular, what does regular mean? Okay, we talk minimum once a week. We see each other, like my son lives in Toronto. So what does that look like? So the brain likes that specific. Because if it's just a good relationship, it doesn't really mean much.
Yes.
So we need to unpack it.
So you've actually written all this out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I believe in that. And mm-hmm. also there's fun theories about when you do write down your goals, you are connecting and strengthening neural
Absolutely.
Pathways.
Absolutely.
So by visualizing that is one way, by writing it down, by saying it, sharing it.
Yes.
So the brain gets that chance of, oh, she's serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is good because some people might say, oh, I'm just not a writer. I don't journal or whatever. So you can talk it out.
Yes.
And or visualize it.
Yes.
And I understand that maybe once those steps are done, perhaps it becomes easier then to write it out.
Well, I want to plug in for the writer, the ones yes. that don't want to write.
Good.
And you know, it's
this
not like
me.
It's lots of writing, Nick.
Okay.
You may only need to do it once.
Great point.
You know, you can
great
just
point.
Write it down once. It's so important. The success rate is exponential when you write it out.
Yes. I get you. And what I've done little tricks for myself. I've asked myself when I'm 75 to talk to me and tell me what to do. And that 75-year-old self says, sit down, spend the 20 minutes and write it out.
And write it down. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, wow, this is fantastic stuff. It almost sounds like here that there's, how do I want to say this? We hear it. We hear the words from you. We get motivated. We get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the action step
mm-hmm.
that is challenging for a lot of people. Okay, so can that action step, it's the inability to do the action step, can that as well be a habit? Like,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
These habits within habits.
Because mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, I know I should, but I can't. And wow, this can get quite complex. And I think we have to always kind of take that perspective and say, with ourselves and say, it's okay. I know I didn't write it down today, but we need to do this. It's important, and kind of keep on ourselves until we do it.
One thing that I'd like to put, I know where our time is winding down
mm-hmm.
is, one thing that I've done is I will get a coach. So
the health coach. No, just
well,
kidding.
Sure.
Yeah, no,
oh,
I understand
totally.
The concept.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. A coach to manage, whether it's stress or a time management coach or a coach to realize dreams. Mm-hmm. Why do I think just because I'm a therapist, I can do it by myself?
Wonderful.
I've gone and taken your workshops. I'll take a coach to work out.
Absolutely.
You know? And one of those things, it makes it really powerful and much easier to do.
Fantastic. It's all right. The health coach, Dr. Nick, is quite happy about this. Okay, I think we've set the stage for the brain. And now, in our next show, I'd like to talk to you about your specific services and what you do to help people navigate their way to making successful change.
Sure.
This is Dr. Nick, the health coach from Hunters Bay Radio, and we'll talk to you all next week.